Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet.
What up, y'all? Very special edition. I really like doing these live shows. One, because it's easier on me. And then two, I just like talking about different things. And there's so much women's wrestling talk to talk about. So I'll tell you the reason why we're here. So first off, thank you guys for tuning in to Women's Wrestling Talk. This is a very special panel edition. I'm going to get into our host first, and then I'm going to tell you guys why you're here. You know, leave you in suspense. So she is the host for United Wrestling Network. Please welcome Emily May.
Hi, everyone. Excited to be back.
Hey, I know. Double trouble today. And she is the host of In Cat We Trust. Please welcome Katrina Blake.
Hey, everybody.
Hey. And, you know, my other two co-hosts, they're amazing, but this lady is more amazing because she does a lot of work. I don't wish this work on anybody else, but she does amazing work all the time. Definitely a site that you want to check out. She is the co-owner of Bell to Bells and contributor for PWI. Please welcome Christian Astley.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Hi. I'm so excited to see you, Kristen. I just say that.
Yeah, I know, me too.
So let's get into it. So wait, first off, let's just kind of discuss the PWI because there's a lot of news that's been coming out. You know, if you're on Twitter and all that good stuff, you know, a lot of people have been announcing that they made it. One wrestler, I forgot who it was, she's like, the great news is I saw the PWI. The bad news is I didn't make it. But she said it in a very tongue-in-cheek way. Meaning that, you know, she's going to get there eventually, but kind of let's talk about it. What does it take to make that list?
Well, for women, for instance, unfortunately, historically, the list has been sort of built for male wrestlers. And that just means that the only criteria that's different is that it weighs like heavyweight championships or junior heavyweight championships, which traditionally women are not. They don't have the opportunity for, at least not in the big promotions. The last 2 years, there's been women on the list because the indies have been a lot more intergender focused. So, you know, those type of titles, general stuff, right? So like matches, title reigns, the strength of competition, that sort of thing. So anything that would make like a really good wrestler. And then also it's kayfabe. So push is really important as well.
It is. And how do you, so I just kind of give you like what I had to do yesterday is kind of like not having to do wrestling, but has to do with wrestling. I had to do like a list of comparing products for the company that I sell. And I did it on paper and computer. It was very difficult. There was about 25 lists. You're dealing with the 500 names. So how do you keep track of like who goes where in, is there like a whiteboard somewhere or?
Yeah, do y'all get into like one room and just kind of battle it out?
virtually. So there's the ranking committee is handpicked by Kevin, who is the editor-in-chief over there. And we all kind of have our roles. So obviously I'm not there to worry about like men's wrestling. I'm there to cover women who qualify. That was my duty. There are, you know, Righteous Reg, if you follow him on Twitter, he's there for the Black representation. So we all have our focus, which is nice because there's no way I would ever know 500 wrestlers, nevertheless be able to rank them. I mean, there's so many on that list that I'm not very familiar with, frankly. Mm-hmm. And we spent several meetings. There's several meetings in a Zoom where you just talk it out, and it's hours at a time, takes whole evenings. Even then, like, we don't have 14 days to do this. So there's like email threads that happen. Kevin and PWI in general get the trump card. So, you know, if we're fighting a lot, he gets to just pick. But it's a lot of team effort. It's not just, you know, we don't put like, there's a lot of effort into this. We don't just sit around for 20 minutes and just like, oh, this works. Like, I know, there's like, yeah, here a we lot are. Of effort.
Yeah. What's right. the timeline for it? So like, for instance, like, fun fact, the Rose Bowl, they actually start planning in February for the Rose Bowl the next year. So what's the timeline to put this list together? Like, when do you guys start, you know, getting things together?
Well, it all depends on the evaluation period. So this time around, it was from, I believe, July 1st of last year until June 30th this year. And then it's pretty much like right away. So it's funny because I was in St. Louis for NWA. And that week we were doing these meetings. So there was a lot of late nights and a lot of doing all that stuff. But typically we started pretty much right away.
Yeah. So this past year, you know, we're still in the pandemic. Did that have a factor in a lot of your decision making?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of wrestlers who normally would rank didn't. Like Canada, for instance, Canada was pretty closed down during COVID. So they weren't. You'll see in the women's list too, unfortunately, there just wasn't a lot of Canadian wrestlers who made it on the list simply because they weren't wrestling up there. The UK, unfortunately, that too. The men were really hurt with that. Not so much the women, but the men. A lot of countries were completely shut down, and even the indies. There were a couple indie wrestlers that I know should have made it and kind of made like a fake fuss. They weren't really complaining, but, you know, they only had a couple matches. So it definitely affected the list for sure.
All right, so are you guys ready to get into the list?
Let's do it.
Okay, so we're going to start from, I like realize how I put the order. So we're going to start from least to most. Clearly, I didn't do well in math. Anyway, in position 441 is going to be Billy Starks. So, like, tell us about, I was actually listening to some of her interviews. She has a really incredible story. Like, so fairly young, but not young into the game. So tell us, like, how, what made her get onto this position in this list?
I mean, she is so young, but right off the bat, she's wrestling in larger indie promotions. So typically PWI considers promotions like GCW, which I think we all kind of, as like the bigger indie promotions. So they have the most talented like wrestlers, they hold the most sought after shows, and she's already fighting in them in scrambles. I think she was in Joey Janela's Spring Break 4 in these like intergender matches. And I would wager that I would say she's probably half and half. If you look at her matches, she fights men probably as much as she fights women. And it's incredible because she is so young. And granted, her dad follows her around and things are safe. But I mean, her trajectory is insane. It's straight up there. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you find so like impressive about her matches that you've seen?
Like, well, I mean, she's competed for a lot of titles already, which at that age,
yeah, it's incredible.
Lainey Luck is the Freelance Underground Independent Champion, and Billy Starks already fought her for that, which is an intergender title. So she's fighting for these big titles. She's showing up in these big promotions. Mm-hmm. And she's really not afraid to go for it, which is a big part of the indie stuff, right? She's not afraid to show up. She works a lot.
20 promotions this year alone, I interview, which is crazy, during the pandemic.
I can't imagine if it wasn't the pandemic, what she would do. If she's doing 20 when things are shut down, I can't imagine.
Right. And you know, she still goes to school. I mean, she's still getting straight A's. I mean, she's still doing all that stuff. So it's an inspiration that somebody at that age can really just kill it. frankly.
Yeah, I was actually recently introduced to Billy at a indie show in Jersey for the debut We Are Wrestling show, and that's the first time I've actually seen her in action in person, and she was just so much energy and everything. When I realized how young she was, I was like, oh, okay, like, I love that you're so, like, invested already, which means she has, like, such a, so much time to, you know, if she wants to tweak things or just so many things that she can do as far as opportunities and stuff. Like, that's pretty cool. So to see her on the list and I, like, really just got introduced to her, it was like, okay, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, and she holds herself so professionally, like, even at such a young age, like, in the ring and when she's heading out there and just in, like, in person, she just holds herself in a way that I think at that age, I think is very impressive.
Yeah, she puts herself out. Sorry, she puts herself out there. I mean, there was a couple times I would put out feeler tweets on things, and she would send me DMs. I mean, she's working it at that young age. She's really hustling.
You find it's an advantage because we're going to talk about her a little bit later, but we interviewed somebody who's on the list, and she was mentioning, like, social media and being able to. Like, you know, a lot of her matches when she first started out are not recorded and, you know, they were terrible. But now we have social media and it feels like a lot of wrestlers are starting to start earlier in the game. So do you think it's because of social media or do you think, like, it's just where we are in society or?
I don't know, to be honest. I guess because, I mean, like, probably social media plays a part. You know, kids, because I'm 35, right? Those kids. I think, you know, they're more, you know, wrestling's more visible to them, right? They see things that I didn't, because I didn't have that. I didn't have social media until I was, like, in college. So, you know, we didn't get that. They do. And so they're probably seeing things that you wouldn't normally see in your real life. And so maybe they're then exposed to those things and they want to try them out. So, yeah, I mean, social media always plays a part in that kind of stuff for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so amazing. Like, I definitely agree. I think it was you that said it, Emily, that she, Billy, just, when she, even in her interviews, she just carries herself like she's been doing this for like a decade and it's like, hasn't even been around for that. Well, she's been around for
a decade.
But yeah, it's just kudos to her. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more of her. Now in position 429, Emi Sakura. So trying to find her picture there. Here we go. So what, like, I was another, you know, not as many interviews because of the language barrier, but amazing matches. So kind of what put her, like, on your list that kind of put her in that position?
Well, I mean, first, I think it's important to note that she's been working for 26 years in this business, and it's her first time ranking on a PWI list ever. Even the women, she hasn't ranked, which is crazy.
That's really hard to believe.
That's insane.
It is. I think it's a testament, though, that Joshi Wrestling is now getting more mainstream. You know, obviously, AW had a part in her particular career, but it's becoming more mainstream. People are noticing it more. They're watching it. And so maybe that's why she's finally being recognized. But it's crazy that it took so long.
Yeah. There's been a lot of, like, crossover, more mainstream crossover shows on larger wrestling promotions, like you said, so that we can see these Joshi wrestlers and just a different style of wrestling that's very different. And so I think she has been given opportunities, which is great, so that we can actually see the difference that Joshi wrestlers bring to the game.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because... I find this as well, like, you know, there was at NWA, for instance, most of us were there, the language barrier. It's just kind of like, even when we were going down the road to do interviews, you know, I can't remember her name, so forgive me for that, but, like, she wasn't getting as many interviews because she spoke Spanish. And so, like, do you think we're just not recognizing as many people because there is that language barrier there? And therefore it's like you have people who've been in the game for 20 plus years, but you're only hearing certain names just because certain American wrestlers are going over to those countries and bringing that person to our knowledge.
Yeah. I mean, we just released an interview on Saki from DDT Pro, and we've had an interview with Maki and Kamiyu, and then we're having another really huge one actually coming up. And there are translators. if you don't know them and they exist already, then you probably won't know them. But, you know, luckily PWI has that push in. So there are translators. I think part of it is that US media and like West media didn't really ever cover it. So they didn't see it for a long time, right? Just because there wasn't like the internet. And then when they did start seeing it, it took a long time for them to cover it. And so we just weren't aware of it. Then there's also, you know, listing on this list particularly, again, they have to have some sort of intergender basically matches, right? And Japan, up until recently with their indies, have been very closed off on intergender matches. So it's why you have Stardom, it's why you have New Japan. They typically culturally don't allow it. The indies now, they are. And so Choco Pro, Gato Move, which is Emmy's her own promotion, they do it a lot. In fact, she was crazy busy with a lot of intergender tag teams, which helped her. Obviously, she still did some AEW stuff like remotely. Mm-hmm. And she did some Stardom stuff too over the last year. But you know, a lot of the reason why she's on this list is because of her own promotion, which is, I mean, it's sad, but that's how it works.
I guess the question for everybody is like, what's the feeling on intergender matches? Like, I forgot who I saw. I've been watching way too many interviews, but somebody is making mention of it, where some men feel like it's like reverse, like abuse or something crazy. And they don't necessarily like it. And then some people don't like care for it. So what's everybody's feeling on intergender matches?
A mix of things actually from people I've interviewed as well, and I've kind of posed the question just like, what were your thoughts? And I've heard some of the male wrestlers say something very similar in regards to they didn't really like it because they were worried about hurting them or like sometimes about believability and stuff like that.
This is like
yeah, I mean, like, I'm not a wrestler, so I can't, you know, say in that regard, but as like watching it, I think if it's done well, like, I think Trish Adora and Darius Carter had a match at We Are Wrestling as well. That was an amazing, amazing match, intergender match, and they killed it. So I feel like, you know, you get phenomenal wrestlers, either man or woman, you can make it work. I mean, I feel like most wrestlers' goal is to hopefully do a match where they can be safe. So it was just an odd thing that I'm like, is really like, I would hope that's what you guys would do no matter who your opponent is, at least to try to be safe to the person you're stepping in the ring with. But I've definitely heard like people who were okay with it, and then some like, no, I don't like it. It's a bit, I don't want to like not to insult anybody, it sounds a bit narrow-minded in like 2020 2021, but you know.
I mean, you have somebody in the chat not a big fan of intergender.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few people that aren't fans in the chat. I mean, I don't have any issues with that. I think when you have two really great athletes in the ring, it doesn't matter where they come from or anything. Like, just put them there and they're great athletes and they're going to go for it and put on a really great show and tell a really great story. So I really don't have issues with it. But I know depending on promotion and the fan base and what type of match it is, it could be a little problematic. So I think you just have to really make sure that there's a lot of trust involved with those types of matches, any match really. And you just have to think it out and you know, make sure that you're telling the right story at the right moment.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, everyone should watch the wrestling that they like. I'm not going to,
yeah.
You know, if you say I don't like intergender wrestling, then okay. But I see a lot of arguments where they think it promotes domestic violence, which I think is kind of silly. I mean, if you're an adult and you're watching wrestling, hopefully you're aware that it's fake. Right?
It is, I don't know, the person.
If you're aware it's fake, I think that the problem where it comes in is if the physicality of the two wrestlers are so different. Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to put like Brock Lesnar in a match with Rio, because that's going to look real rough, even though I'm sure Rio can take.
It has to be the right matchup. It has to make sense. Like, there's advantages, to consider.
I mean, you have to suspend disbelief, right? So, I mean, it's got to be equal. Because I know Charlotte Flair could kick so many men's butts in my life. Like, there's no doubt about it in my mind. And I don't think that having two professional wrestlers, like Emily said, in a ring fighting is unprofessional or domestic violence, or I don't think that at all.
Right.
But again, it has to be done in a way where it's clearly not like somebody beating the crap out of someone, right? Mm-hmm. It's wrestling. And I've seen some incredible intergender matches. We'll talk about Trish Adora later, but she did also an Iron Man. Iron Person match.
Great
with Tony Deppen. And that went 60 minutes. And she killed it. And they're about the same physical wise, they're about the same height, the same build, and that's what makes it in my mind a little less like severe,
Yeah, I mean, to me, I say it's the drinking game storyline. If the storyline makes sense, and you said it, Kristen, where it's like, okay, well, definitely like a Nia Jax, Jordynne Grace, like this, where it's like, no, in real life they could probably kick 80% of the, then I want to see that. So I definitely agree with you. It just has to make sense. And then also too, for me, I almost equate wrestling to like ballet. It's like a really great dance. Like if they do it right, you believe it to the point where you're just like, I don't know who's going to win. And this excites me even more because you just don't know what the outcome is going to be. So I'm definitely on that same, I think we're all on the same page as that. So let's move on. I just made mention of her. Let's move on to our number 179th position, Jordynne Grace. She's amazing, by the way. Let's talk about how the position where she made on our list, and also her husband's on the list as well. So I think, is that the first couple this 500 list? I'm sure there have been other couples. Maybe.
That's a good question. I'm sure. I feel like that. I'm sure there's been other.
Yeah, I feel like Lainey and I don't know if they were couples then, but I feel like Lainey and GPA were probably on the list together last year. But I don't know. I know he wasn't. It wasn't this year. Sorry, GPA. But Lainey is. So I don't know. Actually, I'm sure there was, though. I don't keep track of that, I guess.
We're pretty cool. Not too many people can say that, because the qualifications for a woman to be on the list in the first place. So she's in the position 179. So tell us about that, how she qualified and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, it's her first time ranking on the 500, which is, I mean, it's surprising, but if you look back in her career, I mean, criteria-wise, it's not. But it's surprising because she is so strong, and she has pulled her weight quite a bit with the men. She ranked the last 3 years for the women's 100, but, this year she really stepped out of women's division a little bit more with Impact. So she fought for, like, the X Division title several times. She had singles matches against men for Impact. And that's the great thing about Impact is that they know, like we just said, how to pair them up believably.
Yeah.
Taya, even when she was with Impact, was competing against some of the mid-card men that were the same size, So Jordynne Grace, she's had a phenomenal year. She's held multiple titles. Not all of them, I mean, I don't think any of them are intergender, but, she did a lot of work intergender-wise for Impact, which put her pretty much right up there.
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing. And it's so funny. I'm sure a lot of you guys have experienced this when you see somebody in real life versus when you interview them in real life versus when you see them on TV, how small they are.
Yes.
So Jordynne Grace is only 5'2".
Yeah, she's
super tiny.
She's super small, like height wise, right? Like, right. But she's so strong. And like, that's the foundation of like her wrestling is like this, bodybuilder and just like her, like TK and I were talking about, like she has these beautiful photos that she posts of her post workout, right? And she does not seem 5'2". Not, I mean, not that this is what it's about, right. Why she's on this list. She's incredibly talented beyond that. But I think she's so versatile. And I think that is what I think makes her stand out on this list is that she's part of multiple areas of the industry and then also outside of the industry as well has an influence. And so I think that's important to realize as well.
Yeah, she's super smart, super progressive, doesn't mince her words at all. And yeah, very intimidating, but not. I mean, she's sweet, but you know.
Yeah, she's definitely not the stereotype, which I really love. Like we're just seeing, you know, so much diversity now. So I'm really hoping to see more of it and, you know, just more women shows, more just shows where women are doing amazing things. So yeah, she's definitely deserving to be on the list.
Yeah, I think I know it's not necessarily fully wrestling related, but I know this year she also brought attention to body positivity and breaking down those stigmas in the wrestling industry and across the board. So I think that photo project that she worked on around WrestleMania, I think was really important and got mm-hmm. the industry talking about how like TK said, wrestlers don't have to have an atypical look. There can be diversity in body types, which I think is important, especially for young wrestlers that want to get involved. Like they can see people on their screens that they can see themselves in, and that's important.
Agree. Very true. Very true. And now, last but not least, I absolutely love this woman. I'm sure everybody is agreed. I don't think there's anybody that's going to say anything else. She placed number 44 on the list, Trish Adora. And I honestly think this picture is just an iconic picture. Like this is the first, if you Google her name, this is the first picture that comes up. I really love this picture just in general. But tell us like how she made this list.
Yeah, well, I mean, hello. Incredible year. I don't think there's any, I mean, unless you're just not watching the indies, there's really no question why she made the list. I mean, she's had an incredible year. She holds the Pan-African World Diaspora Wrestling World. I was like, how do I say that? Wrestling World Championship. She's former GCW Women's Champ. You know, she ranked last year at 173, but she's just been growing in importance, for representation, growing in importance for just women in general. And I mean, she's had an incredible year. And mm-hmm. Somebody told me once that she's like the most photogenic person you've ever met. And it's not one of the reasons why she like is on the list at all. We don't look at that kind of stuff, but she is. And I think it's because she just holds this sort of charisma and she has this like inner glow about her that just, mm-hmm. You see her on a card and you have to watch it. You just have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. I've
been fortunate to see her twice this year, actually, nice. In June and in August. Absolutely just fantastic matches. Like I was, you know, you try to keep yourself calm because I was there like on assignment, but I was so totally fangirling. Like, oh my God, she's a pretty person and she's such a queen. And just like, that's right. You know, Trish, just do everything. She's amazing. So I'm super happy she's on this list as high as she is because she's had like, you know, and then she does it all in her social media too to kind of go off the kayfabe. Like, you know, she talk a little bit trash like she needs to for her match to get on, still being fabulous the way she is. She's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
She's the highest woman, the highest ranked woman ever on a PW 500 list. Before it was Kylie Rae at 78 last year, but this year it's her at 44. And when we were doing it, a little behind the scenes, when we were doing it right around this 44 mark, Kevin just looked at me and he said, we got a woman we can put here? And I'm like, Trish? Why would we not put Trish in the top 50? Excuse me. She better be.
yeah. You know, gotta fight for that spot.
Yeah. There's all this talk about, you know, Black wrestling draws, and it does, and this is proof. She draws regardless of where she's at.
Yeah.
Her stuff at ROH was fantastic. And she does a lot of intergender too. She's not afraid to take some dudes down. So it's really great.
Yeah. I mean, former veteran. Like, she's just, her story is just incredible. I think she taps into so many different circles other than Black wrestler, which, you know, that's fine too, but it's just great when you connect to people on different levels too. So she's just, I agree with that. I haven't met her in person. We have done a couple of interviews with her, but it just feels like, I call it the Beyonce effect, when you just meet somebody and they're like, just, they're just like floating. Like, they're just very calm, but they may also make you feel great.
Yeah.
And see, like, I don't, like, there's only very few people who have that je ne sais quoi. And she, to me, seems like that person. Like, she'll make you feel amazing. I'm like, but wait, I thought I was interviewing you. Like, you.
Yeah. All of a sudden, the script has flipped, and you're like, wait a second.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. So that kind of finishes off or rounds off the list of women who are in the PWI 500. Now, the women for the 150. So it was 100 last year, has increased to 150 this year. So what, like, not that I'm complaining, because there's plenty to be on this list, but what, you know, what was the decision to make this list, you know, bigger?
Yeah, expand it.
Yeah. So every year PWI does their reader poll, right? And last year for the 500, there, you know, like this year, there was some discourse about why is there not more women on it? And that will take 15 hours for me to go through. But, you know, basically, we were like, yeah, what can we do to make sure that more women are spotlighted? Because necessarily merging the list will not make sure more women are spotlighted, frankly, if you just don't have a women's list at all. A lot of indie women will get just kind of, you know, shut out. So, you know, and then also too, last year with the women's list, we had a hard time towards the end. I was on the ranking committee too, and we were leaving off so many, and this is in COVID too. Mm-hmm. So many women that were like, oh, come on, what? Like, and even in the bigger promotions, like, how can we not put this woman on here? But we had to keep it at 100. And so PWI put out a poll and they just said, should we increase it? And most readers said yes. So we decided, let's try a nice even 150 to start with. Could very well increase 200 in the future. Probably will, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, and because even at 150, we were struggling to fit everybody on there, again, during COVID. And this is not including Canadian women or some of the UK women or these women who have not just been wrestling. So super hard to do, but we thought, like, me and Kevin just had a meeting and said, let's try it. Let's try it out. And it was super easy to fill the 150. Mm-hmm. And I'm honestly crazy excited. This one had a lot of new members on the ranking committee, and there was a lot of discussion, a lot, which is good. But it was a well-touted list, so I'm really excited for this one to be shared.
Everyone, yeah. I mean, I know you can't share anything really about that list, but that's exciting that it has expanded to 150. In general. Was it exciting for you to potentially find new wrestlers that you might not, potentially maybe not have heard of as you were navigating ranking the 150?
Yeah. Well, a lot of the indies kind of saw this boom. We can thank a lot of that for Thunder Rosa, frankly. Mission Pro did a lot this year, and pulled those women and put them on NWA and put them on AEW. And I mean, the women did the work, but, you know, there was more visibility for the indies. And so, you know, my job that I put on myself is to keep track of women's wrestling as much as I can. And there were so many new faces. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been ranked for the very first time, and that's awesome news. And I think we can thank COVID a little bit for that, because now there's streaming options. And a lot of those indie promotions are streaming, where, mm-hmm. you know, maybe I wouldn't have known maybe about a Jordan Blade or, you know, a Davian or somebody like that. I maybe not have known about them if the indies weren't strong right now. Mm-hmm. So,
and yeah, like, you can't go to every indie show, like, that's right. Across the country. So,
yeah. And we, you know, just like the 500, we had people who had jobs on this committee. So we had a gentleman who really knows Joshi, like, crazy. And so I promise all the Joshi fans that is covered this year in this women's 150. There are lots on there. And so yeah, we're really excited about it. It's going to be a really great list.
And so when can people expect this list? Because, you know, Women's Wrestling Talk, we're definitely, we want to see this list. And obviously, I'm not asking to see it first, but when can we all, the world, expect to see this list?
So we're still finishing up the entries, like writing everything, I think, until the middle of this month. So it'll probably be the end of September, beginning of October.
Okay. So what are you saying, Kristen, that we're going to do another show so we can
discuss? Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot to discuss, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. There will. She's like, there will. Come on the spot, why don't you? Let me put you on the calendar. But, you know, I'm really, really excited about that because even just looking back when we first started this show, and I still haven't gotten, like, all the shows, but we're at about 220 as far as interviews and with a couple of repeats. So that will probably bring us to about 200 interviews of female wrestlers. Probably take out, give or take a few for men. So 190, which is still a lot. That's and awesome. I'm still like, you know, when I go to different things or, you know, even AEW at Dark, it's just like I'm seeing somebody new and I'm just like, wait, like it's a lot, but it's also great to see. Like, you know, when I first started this, I just, you know, you just think of like the core pillars, like, the, you know, the people who are retired, the people who are sitting, but there's way more and there's way more promotions.
So much more. Yeah.
It's so amazing for women's wrestling. So the question is, where do you see it going? Do you see more women's promotions like a Mission Pro or, you know, at more Empower? Do you think that's the direction that we should go? We, as if we're all wrestlers, but you know what I'm saying?
I think it's inevitable. Like, I don't think that there's a question about it. I think there's a lot of women in this industry, like Thunder Rosa, who just force their way through that door and they don't care. Like, they don't need you to open it for them. So I think, you know, women's wrestling is already huge. I find a lot of people who say to me, I don't really care about the men's matches. I tune out. So I think it's really big. And I think everything, media, all that stuff is going to respond appropriately. Yeah, absolutely.
There it is. Any questions or comments, y'all? I think we covered it all. I mean,
So I was going to ask something. So I saw a lot of my fellow broadcast friends and commentary partners and all that. They were talking a lot about whether there might be a PWI list for commentary hosts, broadcasters, things like that in the future. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for Kevin, but that was also on the readers poll, and there are a lot of people that are really interested in that kind of list. I think he was like, let's work this tag team list that's brand new for a year or two before we like introduce another list because it's a lot of work. But that's definitely on the table. I mean, he asked those questions on the reader poll for a reason.
Yeah,
you know, there has been a lot of comments about that, and they deserve, y'all deserve that sort of recognition. So absolutely.
I mean, that seems like a more daunting list than
I feel like that is. I mean, you have to look at a lot of factors and avenues on that one.
Yeah. There's no just cage match, right? You have to really research people.
Yeah.
I will do a cage match. I will make it happen. Cage matches are my favorite.
I was like, if I can have the number one spot for me on a cage match, tag team match, I will do
a cage match. No. Kristen, we're going to do one. We're going to make a cage match happen.
Oh boy. Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you, Kristen, for doing all this work because like I said,
it's incredible. It's so much work. So we appreciate it. I know.
Yes, definitely.
I know lots of people talk about it once the list comes out, but I know it's a lot of work for your whole committee to get it out there.
Yeah. So definitely kudos to you guys for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it.
Thank you. here's
the caveat, guys. When the list, like with the list now, and when the list does come out, I'm gonna speak for you, Kristen, because I think sometimes you might get this. This is a list. It's not an end all be list. This is not please, you know, attack PWI list. This is just, you know, we all love wrestling, appreciate it, and you know, just show love, not hate. No negativity, even on this podcast. If I see any negative comments, you will be blocked. I'm putting that in the atmosphere now. So yeah, this is fun stuff, guys. So please, you know, because I can only imagine sometimes, because some people go a little haywire. So
yeah, I had to block like 5 people yesterday. I'll put it
that way. Oh, goodness. Well, yeah, That's not cool, guys. Be nice. Yeah.
And yeah, with that being said, where can people find you?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe nowhere. On Twitter at Kristen Ashley, I tweet a gazillion times a day. All my stuff's there. I'm also at Bell to Bells, belltobells.com, and then youtube.com/belltobells. We have a bunch of interviews coming up.
Stay tuned for that. Perfect. Thank you. And Miss Emily, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on all social media platforms. If you want to see me in a cage match, you got to go there and follow my socials at Emily Mayheller.
Now, where can everybody find you? No comment.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Cat We Trust, the E's of three. I'm also on Facebook and YouTube for like wrestling interviews and all nerdy type stuff. And if you want to catch my writing stuff, then that's on Sports Obsessive and Shooting the Sports Ish.
I thought you said you too want to see me in a cage match. I thought.
Oh no.
So thank you guys so much for joining. We are going to be doing more stuff like this, and definitely for sure we want to talk about the PWI 150, the women's list. So we're gonna, you know, once that comes out, we're definitely gonna have a show about that. But thank you guys so much for joining us. Make sure that you're following Women's Wrestling Talk on all social media platforms, WW Talk Pod, our website www.talkpod.com. we have some really interesting stuff coming in the next 2 weeks, so please check it out. More commentary and, you know, just, you know, it's very interesting stuff, trust me. Other than that, you can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. Like I said, this was amazing. I love, obviously, Women's Wrestling Talk. I love highlighting women. I think we are doing great stuff. And I'm also of the kind of opinion that, you know, the men are okay, but... But thank you guys so much. Till next time. Ciao.
Bye. Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.